In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's a joy to be together with all of you. I've had some travels recently, all for beautiful things of the Lord, but nothing is like being together with our home family. We had a beautiful day yesterday. After the Vespers, we had our Orthodox survival class, and it was a big turnout. It wasn't this big, but it was close. And I really want to thank all those who came and really encourage those who haven't been yet to come, because as we discussed, our faith can't be a Sunday-only event. You know, maybe we walk in the church for the first time on a Sunday, but our hearts get taken over, and the life in Christ and the Orthodox Church becomes our daily life. We have daily service. We talked yesterday about how we need to live in the church and go out in the world. Not the opposite, which is live in the world and then kind of go to church once in a while. Totally different mentality, not a secular mentality we're trying to put on. But one thing we talked about among many things yesterday was this sense of discipline, a sense of love for being in this church, loving every part of the church, loving the old wood floors, loving the stones, loving the icons, even the little insignificant things, having a love because this is a place where angels and saints dwell. This is in this church, whether we're having a service or not, the angels and archangels and all the saints are present. We aren't mystically aware of it very often. In the divine liturgy, the church triumphant and the church militant, us, are joined in this eternal liturgy. All the Orthodox churches in the world, millions of Orthodox Christians that are in liturgy together right now, are praying mystically together in that divine liturgy. All of us desire this, I hope, otherwise you wouldn't be here. We talked about how our life in Christ, it all begins here, in the womb of the church, in the womb of holy baptism. If you're not baptized yet, you should be. Forgive my boldness, you should be an Orthodox Christian, because nothing in the whole world is greater than being renewed by Christ in baptism. It's the greatest thing on earth. I just celebrated, I realized last week my godfather reminded me. He says, remember, it was 20 years ago, it was on Tuesday, you're baptized in that river. And I had forgotten the day exactly, and it reminded me of my own baptism. And I had a baptism last weekend. I was in Virginia at a little church, and I was asked to be a godfather of a man who was a catechumen here many years ago and kind of struggled, and then he came back, and I was honored to go, and he was baptized in Little River in the backwoods of Virginia. And I was amazed that across the world, across America, people are finding Orthodox Christianity. People are seeking the ancient faith. They're sick of the worldliness. And the coronavirus, they're sick of being afraid. They're sick of being fearful. They're sick of being alone. They want to know God. There's 20,000 denominations of Christianity, and they're seeking, I want the truth. But what's much more, it can't just be a mental search, brothers and sisters. Whether we're converts or coming for the first time today, or been Orthodox for a number of years, or born and raised in the Orthodox Church, we want to increase our mental knowledge, yes, but that's not important. It's from our hearts. We need to live from our hearts, not our fickle emotions, our hearts. But our hearts are darkened. The Lord says, out of the heart of a man comes lies, deceits, all this stuff. The world thinks their heart, everyone in the world thinks their heart is an amazing barometer of truth. Or if I ask a Mormon missionary, which I often do, I say, you know, what's in your heart? Or they say, I just know in my heart it's true that Joseph Smith's a prophet. And I said, how do you know your heart is a barometer for truth? Well, I just know in my heart. I said, what does Jesus say comes out of the heart? They never know the answer to that question, by the way. Lies, deceit, so-and-so. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Is your heart purified? They have no idea what I'm talking about. God bless them. You ask about holiness, anything. They talk about morality, being a good person. That's the outside, being moral. But the kingdom of heaven is within you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we want to see God, not with our physical eyes, with the eyes of our heart. We have such strong belief that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's the faith that all the saints had. That's the faith that St. Paul is calling the Christians to in Corinth. And he's calling us today in the same way. All the words of St. Paul, the epistles, have been read for 2,000 years. For our edification, we should receive these words from the liturgy like they're spoken directly to our situation, which they are. Very, very important for us. And St. Paul's first words, brethren, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, and be strong. He didn't say anywhere about being smart. You know, yes, we need to read, we need to pray, we need to repent, we need to purify our hearts. And that first step of that is in holy baptism. We come out a brand new person. Nothing survives the death of the font. We're a new creation. You know, they wear a white robe, the newly baptized, like this, to symbolize their souls. But not too long, we tarnish it, don't we? We sin. We judge. We get angry. We get frustrated. We fall, all of us. But thank God that we have a Lord who's the Lord of repentance. And 70 times 7, no matter how often we fall, if we don't despair, if we don't justify our sins, if we go to our spiritual father, to our priest, we go to him in the mystery of confession, we stand before God, and the priest is our guide and our helper, and we can repent of our sins, God is so quick to forgive us. St. Silouan was asked, the great Silouan of Mount Athos, the monastic center in Greece, a non-Orthodox person asked him, what do you do in that monastery in one sentence? That's hard to sum up all of Christianity, 2,000 years, all these things. He just said, we fall and we get up. We fall and we get up. That's what we do as Christians. And that's what we constantly do. We don't despair. And we, like a person in battle, like a soldier in battle, he's running, he gets hit, gets a couple wounds. He doesn't. If he lays down and goes, oh, I got you. No, he's going to die. He manfully gets up. He keeps going to the next place he can guard, and he finds the medic. You know, the medical field, you know, you could find the battlefield, they had a big cross on them. And he finds the medic, and he goes and gets stitched up, and he goes back out into the battle until they can defeat the enemy. It's a very good analogy for the spiritual life. We get out there, we're living our lives as much as in the world, we're trying to fight, and we're going to lose, we're going to get hit. We're going to have pride, we're going to have lust, we're going to have all these things. We try to avoid them, we're going to get hit. And we run back to our spiritual father, we run back to the church, which is our real home. He binds us up, maybe it's a little painful, little surgery, fix it up, and then you go back into the battle, and we fight this battle until our last breath. And we do encroach upon the enemy, and if we seek diligently, the Lord rewards those who seek Him diligently, the scriptures say, and we can reach victory over the enemy, which is purity of heart and the kingdom of heaven. Even before we die, we can taste the kingdom of heaven, brothers and sisters. We talked a lot about yesterday about making the church your life. Don't just be here on Sundays. Be here on Saturday night, please. We have liturgy every day. Why can't you come to church every day? I challenge you, come as much as you can. If you're a lazy person and you're working from home and you can take an hour every morning, come and be blessed. If you can come one extra time, come. Right? And swim in this divine world. Most of us are so worldly. Right? We have the things of the world, the news, the politics. Everything's going to ramp up. It's going to get worse until November. Who knows what will happen? But the world can go on destroying itself, but this temple of our hearts has to be nourished. And it happens here, in this repenting family, in this beautiful church community. So, if it's your first time today, welcome. This is your home. If you want to be an Orthodox Christian, you should be. See me and Father Paul. Become a catechumen. Go through the class. We're having this class. It's the best class to come to, the survival class. Meet with us. Pray. Live this life of 2,000 years. It doesn't matter if you're smart. It doesn't matter if you're homeless, if you're a doctor, if you're a sinful priest. If we follow the same way of 2,000 years, if we follow the words of St. Paul, our hearts can be purified. We can be different people than we are now. We don't have to be addicted. We don't have to be so judgmental. We're still going to do it. We're going to do it less and less and repent, and we're going to fall and get up. And so, but today I want to focus on one very, very important aspect. Having spoken a lot in the past, and Father Paul and I, about being serious. Be serious about being in the hospital. Be serious about the medicine of confession. Being close to the priest. Coming to the services as much as possible. Fasting. Reading spiritual books. Living this. That's our emphasis all the time. But there's something very important that if we leave it undone, all of those good things won't matter. Listen to what St. Paul says. Be watchful. Okay. All the time. What do you watch? What do you listen to? I talked about yesterday. Be watchful. Stand firm in your faith, especially now. Christianity is not popular. Be firm. Don't be ashamed to make your cross in a restaurant. Don't be ashamed at school to make your cross. Don't be ashamed to stand up for what marriage is, a man and a woman. It's the most beautiful thing. Man and a woman, a marriage in the church is an icon of Christ and His church. It's an incredible icon. It's being destroyed by the world. No, we stand up for that with love. We stand up against sinfulness and disgustingness. And we stand up for holiness and purity and righteousness and defending unborn life. All these things that Christians have always done. Yes. Be courageous. So many of us Christians, forgive me, one priest said recently, says, Christian guys are weenies. Forgive my language. It's true. It's like, where's the manfulness? People think manfulness is like chauvinistic and being like, I can drink this many beers and all this kind of stuff. That's not manfulness. Manfulness is humility. Manfulness is self-control. A true man doesn't look at disgusting things. A true man is in control of his passions. A true man gets out of bed early. A true man sacrifices and puts himself last for his friends, for his family, for the life in Christ. A true woman does as well. Motherhood, the icon of the Mother of God, is constant humble servitude to everyone around them. And our world doesn't care, doesn't count these as virtues. So be courageous. Be strong in your Christian life. It is hard. It's work to get out of bed and be here. It's work to fast when you don't want to. It's work to ask forgiveness when you're steaming mad. But be courageous. Be strong. You see how Olympic athletes get ready for the Olympics? It's everything to them. This is way more important than the Olympics. It's our eternal joy. Joy now. It's eternal salvation. Other people's salvation. And we put so little effort into it. I want you to think about that. Your whole life, from the moment you wake up to the time you go to bed, should be spent saying, how can I love Christ more? How can I love others more? And how can I sin less and stop being so selfish? And how can I swim in this world of the saints before this short life is over? And if you're always thinking that, you'll be the most joyful person in the world. More joyful than any millionaire on the beach, I promise you. More joyful than people that have cars and beautiful people and all these things the world holds true. They're miserable. But people that are always seeking God, always seeking Christ, always in the church, swimming in the church, praying and fasting. From the outside, it looks like, oh, it doesn't look very fun. That's the devil's lie to keep you worldly. But when you fall in love with the lives of the saints, you fall in love with this life in the church, it is the most beautiful, really meaningful life, full of joy. But St. Paul says after this, let all that you do be done in love. Not worldly Oprah love, like love is tolerance, love is just whatever you want to do. That's not what love is. That's love, right here. Love is pain. Love is sacrifice. Love is not a feeling. Let me repeat that. Love is not a feeling. Like guys say to me, I don't know if I'm really in love with my wife anymore. Right? Love isn't a feeling. Right? My wife might not always like me, but she always loves me. I think she probably always likes me too, actually. I suspect that we like each other a lot, and that's why it works out so well. But nevertheless, it's not required. Right? Love is what's required. We annoy each other. We're human beings. We're fallen. In families, in the monasteries, of course. But love is dedication. It's willed. We will. Oh, Father, I don't believe in God anymore. My faith isn't really good. No, your warm fuzzies are gone. You're just having a bad day. Stop being so dramatic. Right? It better be deeper than your fickle emotions or it's not real. A relationship better be or it's going to be destroyed. A friendship, a marriage. And a relationship with God will be destroyed by this fickle emotion. That's the problem with most American religion. It's very emotional. LDS is very emotional. Very sentimental. Protestants, very emotional. Even Catholicism, you see it. It's growing. Orthodoxy is sober. Our bishop often says, spirituality and sentimentality are not the same thing. We can be led astray. Even the music of the church, it's beautiful, but it's sober. It's not like warm fuzzies. It brings repentance. It's different. That's what the music of the church, the icons, everything is to create an ambiance of, yes, joy, yes, beautiful, but not kumbaya beautiful. Beautiful in the sense of awe. And tears and repentance, and yet Christ loves me. It's a unique way of living, brothers and sisters. Love is this kind of love. It's painful. It's hard. If it's not hard, it's not love. If it's easy to love somebody, even the sinners do that, the Lord. Even the Pharisees do that, the Lord. So that's easy. To love those who despitefully use you, who hurt you. St. Silouan says that's the sign that you become a perfect Christian when you perfectly love your enemies, which we don't. But that's our goal, is to have such love, such long-suffering for people. And you know what? Without this striving for love, God doesn't care how many prostrations you do, how much you fast, how much you're in church. But some people go like this. Oh, okay, Father Justin, you know, I'm going to focus on the whole, like, love, humility thing, and not the whole, like, aesthetical thing, okay? Doesn't work that way. Wouldn't that be nice if it worked that way? But it's not true. It's the people who are the most loving are the most serious about asceticism. What is asceticism? Prayer, fasting, prostration, being in church every day, fighting, carrying the cross of love that's painful. Deny yourself and carry your cross and then you're worthy of Christ and he turns it into a resurrection. So you see, when you begin to control your addictions through fasting, when you're serious about coming, when you live the faith, all that is kind of an enabler. What it does is it unlocks a potential of every human soul to then be a person of love. So it's not like, oh, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to love people, okay, and not judge. No, no. It's by doing the hard work of being a Christian that our hearts get softened and that love can be actualized. We can actually begin to love people as we truly should, more than ourselves. St. Paul numerous times says, let all you do be done in love. He talks about these great Christians. You know, he talks about Aquila and Prisca and these and Fortunatus and Stephanus and Achaic, these great Christians that were helping each other. And he commends them. He says, put yourself under such people. They're great examples of Christians. They refreshed me. These women saints, they're saints of the church, Aquila and Prisca, they refreshed the incredible Apostle Paul. How? By their love. But yes, he was part of them for their prayers and their faithfulness, and they wouldn't betray Jesus, and they became martyrs for the faith. They did. And they gave their lives. But because it manifests itself in great love. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Do you know Orthodox Christians greet each other? We really shouldn't shake hands. When you see a priest, you make a bow, or a bishop, and you get his blessing, and he blesses you, and then you can give him a hug. But in the old country, they kiss on the cheeks, right? First I met an Orthodox priest, I was walking in college, and I see this man in black. You know, like me now. You know, this big flowing robe, and his big beard, and the cross on, and he's walking with kind of a fast gait. And I stopped him and said, hi, are you a priest? And before I could say a word, he grabbed me and was like slamming his face against my face. Right? Hello, I am the priest Dimitri. And he slammed me, blah, 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 and he grabbed me and held me. And I thought, I don't even know this guy. But I felt loved. It was intimate. We're so distant. Forgive me, the coronavirus is evil because it is making people afraid of one another. And our salvation depends on each other. I'm not afraid of dying, I'm afraid of not living, one person told me recently. I'd rather die than not live that way. I would really rather die of the coronavirus than not embrace. It says in the Apostle Canon, let us embrace each other. Let us call brothers even those who hate us and forgive all and embrace each other in the resurrection. But no, stay away. Our brother, our sister is our life. There's no salvation. Eldris Gavralia says, why did God put your eyes where he did in your face? You can see your own hands, you can see your own feet, but you can't see your own face. God could have put your eyes in your hands if he wanted to, however you wanted to do it. But you can't see your own face because you're forced to see yourself in the face of another. I mean, we depend on each other. St. Paisius tells a story of like what is hell like. There's these men in one room and they're all around a big table with some slop in the middle. And they have they've attached to their arms super long spoons. And in one room, and they have to eat. And they're too long. They can't bring it to their mouths because it's too long. They can't. And one room, they're all fighting and they're beating the heck out of each other. And they go to the next room, and they're all fed. How? Because they dipped it in and they fed the person across from them. They weren't out for number one. They weren't fighting. That's how Christians have to think with this incredible love. I was in the monastery once in Texas, and we were walking, and one of the monks is from Greece, and he's very gregarious, he's full of love, and met some new guy in Texas, you know, Texas, big hats and everything, and wearing our cassocks, and I said, yeah, meet Tom. He said, hey, Brew, hey, Tom. You know, he comes over, and he gives him a big hug, and he kisses him, and his friend goes, did that man just kiss you on the face? And he's like, yes, he did, very uncomfortable. And then next guy's like, hi, my name's John. You know, and he's like, get over here, you know, and like, just show love. Greet each other with a holy kiss, you know. And by the way, let me make it as an aside. This doesn't give a right to like a guy who's like trying to hit on a girl in the church to go up and give her the kiss of peace. It doesn't work that way, right? The kiss of peace is exchanged between members of the same sex, by the way. And not in the liturgy and things like that, but if we do it, right, we can hug each other. We're still modest about how we do it. But I want to end with a story today. St. Paul says, greet each other with a holy kiss. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Oh Lord, come, my love to you all. Love, love. It's the sacrificial feeling. And I was trying to figure out how can we get a vision of what real love is. Listen to the story of St. Paisios. Wow. I read this and wept. So a bishop told this story. The bishop was a monk of Mount Athos. And he was and didn't want to be a bishop. He was there as a monk. And TV crews come to Mount Athos often. They're not supposed to, but they do. And they come, they interview people, and the monks are always like, oh gosh, who are they going to talk to? Some psycho, you know, and give a bad name to the holy mountain. And one time they came, they picked the worst monk. The worst one. I'm like, and he gave an interview, and they saw it later, and they were shocked by it. And the man said, they interviewed him, said, is there any holy people in the mountain? They said, yeah, well, there's one, I think, maybe. Who? He says, Elder Paisios. And they were surprised because usually people that are not really good monks didn't recognize his holiness. And he said, why is he a saint? He goes, does he do great vigils and the prayer all night? He goes, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. I mean, I don't know if he does prayers and stays up all night. I don't really know. He says, I'm a terrible monk. He said, I never pray. Never. I never do my prayers. I never go to the services. I never fast. I drink all day. And I usually get picked up by the Athenite police every night. This happens even among Atos. You can be sure where there's great holiness, there's great sinfulness. This does happen. Right? And he says, I get picked every night. And he says, what's so good about St. Paisios, Elder Paisios? He goes, well, it's amazing. He calls me a couple times a year to come to his keli. St. Paisios had this little kind of hermitage. And he calls me and he hires me every year to come chop wood for him. And he treats me like I'm the most amazing monk. So what do you mean? He says, you know, how much do you need to pay? He says, 10,000 drachma. He says, I'm paying you 15. And the whole time he's doing it, Elder Paisios, he says, he serves me as if I hired him to help me. And he gives me wine, knowing my situation. He gives me wine, he gives me treats, tells me to take rests. And whenever a visitor comes to see him, he says, don't come to me first. Go meet this good monk and kiss his hand and get his blessing. He's such a good monk. And he wept. And he said, no one treats me like this. Everyone hates me here. But somehow he sees something in me that I don't see. And that's why I think he's a saint. And the bishop said, God help us. What long suffering. What lack of judgment. Look at St. Paisios wasn't an idiot. He could see into his heart. He saw all of his sinfulness. But you know, we can't mistake the rust on the coin for the core of the coin. Right? The core of us is, when God made us, he said, it's good. His creation is good. And we're the crown of creation. And you can't mistake the sin with the sinner. The core of every human heart is good and redeemable. And all the saints show us how quick we are to judge. If we know there's no love, don't believe the world's definition of love. Love is radical. Love is painful. Love makes us look like idiots to the world. Let us be idiots to the world if we can have the love of Christ. Christ went to the harlots. He went to the people that were the worst. He wasn't afraid of being with them. Now, they stopped doing that when they were with him, by the way. He didn't keep hanging out with prostitutes, but they kept doing it. Just to be clear. But he wasn't afraid to go. He didn't judge people. People say, I see a homeless guy in the street drinking beer. Oh, I can't believe it when I hear a Christian say that. What is wrong with you? And they're like, you would do that? I was like, if it was me, I'd have one in both hands. No, who are we kidding? Like, this is a, you think you're better than them? No way. A different roll of the dice? That could be me any day of the week. And any of us, if not for the grace of God. We have to have this kind of love. This kind of humility. To see everyone as better than ourselves. But we're so quick to judge and protect ourselves and the world according to justice. And you know what's happened? We miss out on a lot of joy. We miss out on a lot of love. You see, that monk did have love to give. He did have virtue deep in his heart. But only St. Paisios was willing to see it and to pull it out of the heart of a person. I was very accused as a priest. I lack this love. I lack it. But I want it. And I think we all want it and we need it. And it's a cross. And it means overlooking the external stuff and people. I can tell you as a priest, you have no idea what's going on in the heart of a person. You have no idea. Let's assume the best. Let's give the benefit of the doubt. Let's do all the things we talk about all the time. Prayer, fasting, being the services. But let's give it divine wings by really focusing on this. Not judging each other. Not gossiping about each other or the world. Always giving second. Always giving the benefit of the doubt. Always doing what Elder Pombo the desert said. I used to have it on my door. It said, be kind. Everyone is fighting a terrible battle. It's true. I can tell you as a priest, you have no idea the battles that are raging in the heart of each person for the kingdom of heaven. So may God help us on this day, above all, to focus to have love. To love each other more than ourselves. To spend, love God and love other people, and God will love you plenty for yourself. That's what one elder told me. Stop this self-love and let's try to find, every day, people that irritate, people don't like, find the way in which they're better than you. Find it, and you'll see it. I promise you'll see it, and you go, wow, that's an amazing person. And then once you know it, after you know it, everyone is better than you. And you're not depressed about it. I'm like, they're better than me. You're like, wow, look at God's creation. Look how beautiful it is. The world doesn't see it, but I see the beauty in this person. And it doesn't offend me. It makes me rejoice. This is the beginning of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven will be like this. There'll be no judgment. There'll be only this radiant joy of Christ. If we want to begin tasting heaven now, it has to begin with this kind of otherworldly love. Lord Jesus Christ, you who are love itself, please forgive our sinful, judgmental hearts. Help us to repent, to deeply repent every day. Give us your medicine of something in your holy church every day, praying, weeping, confessing, loving, that this humble, hard heart can be softened, can be cracked, and we can see divine love and divine goodness in every human person, and thus experience your love and begin to taste the treasures of the beautiful honey of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.